Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Cha. And today, go ahead,
Stelly. No, you do it. You do it.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about conferences.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Right? We want you to do your best.
Speaking at conferences, and I'm going to start right now by saying that I used to speak at a lot of conferences, like Stelly still does.
Yep.
And I definitely ramped that down quite a bit. I do speak at smaller events sometimes, and I do some other things where I speak. But recently, we both spoke at Hypergrowth, which is Hypergrowth West, which is Drift.com's conference. I didn't actually speak. I actually had a panel, which is something I've been doing more. Because most people think panels suck, and I think I want to learn how to make them awesome. So I've done probably over a dozen panels now, I think. And so I did a panel on stage, and the title of the panel was "What's Killing Your Growth," and that was fun. I like to make them entertaining, and I like to be a good moderator. So I have a whole process for doing it. It's pretty simple, where I talk to the folks early and just get an idea of how they think about the topic, and then I come up with questions. I create a document with an overview and questions, and I send it over to them. And they have time to think about it. They might ask a couple questions back or comments on the questions I laid out. And then it's just go time on that day. So it's about 15 to 30 minutes of prep, 15 for them, another 15 for me to write the document, and I've sent it off to them. And that's how I do panels. That's kind of my new thing when it comes to conferences. What I like to do is moderate a panel with a bunch of folks on it. And so that's my spiel about speaking. And since I haven't done it in a while with like a deck and a presentation and all that, I think, Stelly, dude, off to you. I've probably got a bunch of questions for you. But you, how many times do you speak a year?
That's a good question. If we strictly focus on like big conferences, it's about 12 to 15 big conferences a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's probably a bunch more like small workshops or meetup type stuff. There's probably another 10 or so, 10, 15 of like smaller events. We speak like proper conference, probably like 12 a year. We recorded an episode once. It's episode 248 on how to use conferences to grow your startup. And this is more about like marketing at a conference. Does it make sense to do sponsorships there? Yes or no. But I get asked so often and so frequently about speaking at a conference as a founder and if it's valuable or not, a waste of time or not, or how to do it, that I thought it might be fun to chat with you about, especially because you shifted your focus, right? And you've kind of adjusted and changed your approach to it recently. For me, it's a bunch of ways that I do it and why I still feel it is valuable to my company. So it starts with some very practical things. The reason I speak at a conference, there's three main reasons. One is it helps acquire customers. B, it helps hire great people. And C, it helps create brand awareness. It helps create new content. It's a new kind of content generation engine for our content marketing team overall. So to me, when I get invited to a ton of conferences, probably 30 to 40 conferences a year, and I only go to 12, so I say no to a lot of these. The reason is that my first question when I'm asked to speak at a conference, first question that I have is always, are the people that go to this conference, could a good amount of these people become customers of my product, my company? And is there a chance that a good amount of these people could be either, people we would want to hire today or tomorrow? And if the answer to both of the questions is yes, then I will entertain going and speaking there. And then my next question is, does this fit into my travel schedule? So if it's a month that I was planning not to travel, I still might say no. But if it's a month or a period when I'm traveling and it fits into my travel schedule, right? So I have like three conferences in Europe, and this would be a fourth one in Europe, and it's kind of close to the conference time before and after, it's very likely that I'll say yes if the audience is the right fit in terms of customer and potential hiring or recruiting playground. That's kind of how I make decisions if I will entertain it or not. Like, could this get me customers? Could this get me new team members? And does this fit into my travel schedule anyways? And if all three check out, then I'll say yes to going and speaking there, right? There might be some other little details in terms of, you know, budget and how much money they have and all that stuff. But those are kind of the main question I ask to figure out if this could be a good fit or not. When it comes to then speaking at a conference in a way that gets the maximum value to accomplish these three goals, there are a few things that I want to highlight that are I think unique to my situation. I'll try to, and we can focus on the things that we think most folks can get out of this. But the number one thing that I'll bring up is that I do so much conference speaking, A, because it's working really well for us as a business, but also because it's a very good fit for me as a founder and my skill sets, right? I have a lot of friends that are founders and CEOs that go and speak at conferences. Many of them oftentimes do it because they want to build their personal brand further. And a lot of them are, you know, way more brilliant than I am and have a lot to say and a lot to teach, but it's very hard for them to come up with a talk or come up with a keynote. So it takes them a lot of time and a lot of prep to do this. So they might spend 2 or 3 weeks of preparing to design a keynote. And then, you know, once they designed one keynote, they might not speak that much, so they might just do it once or twice a year. There's people, I know other people that I know that had to spend like a month to come up with a good keynote. And then because it took them so much time, they give the same keynote pretty much everywhere they go, right? And the way I do it, which I don't think translates that well to most people, is that for whatever reason, in my natural talent, it is, quote unquote, easy for me to come up with a topic to talk about because I generate so much content. Anyways, we have these podcasts where we talk about topics. I create so much video content, so much blog content. So I have this never ending kind of muscle that I'm training of how to do storytelling and how to share content that I will spend usually 1 to 2 hours the night before my keynote to come up with the entire keynote. And I used to do all of my keynotes were brand new. For the first, I think, 3 or 4 years that I did this. The last 2 years, to be honest, I would say that just about, it's about 50-50. So half of my keynotes are brand new keynotes I've never given before. Like the one that I did this week in San Francisco, the one that you did the panel on was a brand new one that I created the night before. And then half of them are keynotes that I've given before just because of the sheer demand of these talks and workshops and meetups that I do now. And because sometimes people will tell me, we want you to come and talk about this specific thing you've talked before to our audience because we know that's going to be the most valuable thing for them. So that's kind of my process, but you know, and then also like the way I do slides, it's usually like I don't use video, I don't do animation, I don't have great design. It's usually white background and just one big sentence, right? Or maybe just 3-4 words. It's just like very simple. Simply designed, not just because I like it, but also because it makes it so easy for me to prepare the keynote the day before, right? I don't have to work with designers. I don't get any glitches with like video animation cool. I don't do anything complicated. I keep it as simple as possible. That allows me to be very, very efficient. And because I have this pressure sometimes of creating something brand new the night before, for whatever reason, that creative pressure, I don't always enjoy it. Sometimes I will get into a panic in minute 45. I'm like, shit, I have like one more hour and I'm still really far away from how to make this happen. But that creative, that pressure, usually that creates something like it forces me to create something or to get really creative. It works for my creative work process. And usually I'll come up with something that I'm really surprised by myself. And oftentimes people or audiences will tell me that they really enjoyed it, got a lot of value from it.
Nothing like procrastination. I didn't know your process. I too can come up with topics. I think it takes me a little bit longer to make the decks unless they're like material I already have. Then I usually like just, you know, rejigger it, add some things, make it flow. But also like if it's a topic, like in your case, like I think a lot of times you're talking about sales, right?
Right.
You're good at that topic and you have so many subtopics inside of it that you can pull out and so many stories and things like that, that I think that as long as it, you know, doesn't get old and, you know, there's not as many people that I've heard you speak before, it's not so bad. It's to kind of reuse parts of it, if not all of it, depending on who you're talking to. And when you can do it that fast and it's on a topic that's like, you know, something you've given a lot, I'm sure it's a lot of fun to kind of have that pressure. So that's a really interesting process. I haven't heard anyone else do it quite like that.
Yeah, I don't either. I also think it's sometimes when you have such a huge content library, even just the Startup Chat, right? We're approaching like, I don't know how many episodes at this point.
We'll be at 400 sooner than later.
There you go, right? So when you're at that level, there's like just certain topics and themes that we've talked about so much, right?
Yeah.
That it's sometimes just easy for me to pick one topic like how to say no, right? Or team alignment or that. There's just certain topics where we've spoken about so much. We've shared so many tips that I could just like assimilate that into a kernel and give a succinct talk on it. I think one tip that I give often to people, to founders that are thinking about giving a talk at a startup conference, because I've not just given so many myself, but I've also saw and have heard so many other founders give talks. And I'm curious to hear your tip on this. But one thing one of the biggest tips that I give to people is to really be self-aware and self-accepting with your strengths as a speaker and not try to be somebody else. And what I mean by that is that, you know, some people that are kind of, you know, much, much more shy and reserved in their personality and much more kind of a calm and quiet energy, that's what their natural, authentic self is. They might see somebody like me on stage that's screaming at people and cursing all the time and see that people, the audiences respond really strongly and positively to it, and then might make the wrong kind of conclusion out of that I should curse more and I should be really loud and obnoxious on stage. That probably, it works for Stelly, probably will work for me as well. The obvious answer to that is no. That's not, I've seen a lot of people bomb. And sometimes sadly, even right after my talks, unfortunately, sometimes people will be influenced to adjust or change their style because they're intimidated by my loudness, and that will not work well for them. And just the reverses can be true as well. I've seen founders that then natural personality might be a lot louder and more outgoing. And then they see somebody that give a really data-driven, really quiet, really kind of, kind of strategic and data and rational presentation. And then they will try to be that way. They're like, oh, I need to be like a super data-driven, give a super data-driven presentation to impress people. And then they'll try to do that, but it's not something they do day to day. It's not the way they think. It's not the way they work. So then that will bomb, right? They'll go on stage and they'll try to be this like data scientist. And people will see through that that's not their authentic self. They don't really have the expertise, the knowledge, the data they're sharing is not that accurate or useful or helpful. So I've seen people succeed screaming and being really loud. And I've seen people be really quiet and be really, have a completely different style from me and be super successful and connect with an audience in a really powerful way and everything in between, obviously. But my biggest tip here is be your authentic self and ask yourself, what can I give the audience that they need to hear right now that's going to be useful and valuable to them versus how can I make myself look as good as possible? If you go on stage and you go from a selfish perspective, you try to copy somebody else's style, the audience as a collective is incredibly accurate at judging what you're doing on stage, how authentic it is, and what your reasoning and motivations behind it is. And if they feel it's a selfish thing or not an authentic thing, they will either literally or, you know, not literally give you the middle finger, right? They'll let you bomb and they won't respond, they won't listen. And it's going to be a really horrible experience both for you on stage and also for the entire conference, and you're destroying value versus creating it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you have to be yourself. Otherwise, people will see through it and you'll bomb, like you said. I think it's pretty simple. It's probably one of the hardest things for people to do, though, because they think they have to get on stage and not be themselves. And that's actually the exact opposite is true.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for this episode on how, when, and why you should give keynotes at startup conferences or conferences in general.
Enjoy speaking.
All right, bye-bye.